Good evening. If you would please, I don't know if you're going to be marking Bibles, taking notes mentally or literally. I have some things I'd like to share with you tonight that lie at the core of a very fixed confidence in my heart. That if one thing were true of you and me and those who company with us within the framework of our church family, as well as those inside of our local church association, that thing being that if each of us determined that we were going to stay in the Word, be in the Word constantly, and get beyond the mere reading of it to the actual study of it, and accomplish three things in our devotional life. It would be, first of all, to meditate, then to memorize, and then to muse upon the Word. That being true, there's a whole lot of things that would not be true in my life and in your life. If that was a constant, if that was something that was an everyday occurrence until we saw Jesus face to face, there would be certain things true in our life, absolutely. Certain things not so much a problem anymore, not some things that would be totally unheard of. And I hope that that becomes very apparent to you. We live in times that are very threatening and sometimes confusing. Sometimes I believe that even Christian people without an anchor in the Word can become paranoid and see in every dark occurrence some deeply sinister and hidden effect in their life. I mean, we can look around us domestically, and we can see things that are taking place within government at most every level, whether it is the executive, the legislative, or the judicial branch, and shrink back in fear and intimidation. We can look at the various bureaucratic agencies that are basically there to help administrate government functions, and we see the abuses and the lies and the scandals that spring out of that, and we can sit down in our chairs, hang our head, and become demoralized. Look at all of the technological advances that surround us, and the things that wonderful minds have been able to accomplish with telephones, with computers, with cameras, and all kind of things like that. And then we realize that there are unscrupulous types that take advantage of these things with the design to enter your private space, to catalog your personal affairs a number of different ways, whether financially or physically. There are even those in places of authority in military structures that are allowed to say things, apparently allowed to say things and teach certain things to their underlings that we find very repulsive. We understand that today the chaplain corps is undergoing a very, very rigorous time. They're being pressed, especially those who believe anything, and especially even more so those who hold real Bible convictions are being pressed and pushed into a corner. And especially do we find people in the highest levels of the military establishment now speaking to the effect that evangelical Christians, as well as hard right-wing Catholics, are to be categorized as extremists. And of course, while you and I think we can rise above the name calling and we can get past all that, understand that when people use words like that over and over and over and over again, it is with a long-range design to condition the minds of the mass of people that they've been uttering for so long is true. And so whenever action does come, that maybe would even get to the point of curtailing your civil liberties, people will think nothing about that. And you can sit down, you can dwell on that, and you say, wow, how are we as Christian people to balance that off with what we know to be true about the Scripture? And therefore I say, and I'm convinced with all my heart, that if God's people were absolutely into the Word on an everyday basis in a very serious-minded way, certain things would be true of us and certain things would be no more seen in our lives. I'd like to have you look with me in the book of Joshua, first of all, in the eighth verse of the first chapter. And I want to remind you of something about the book that you have in your hands. As we do this summertime sightseeing, I want to present to you a roadmap to a happy place where the comfort zones are clearly marked all along the route. It's a wonderful thing if you have to go on a trip. You ought to be able to at least to be able to know where the comfort zones are. You shouldn't have to be squirming and wondering just where and when. Here in the Scriptures, we find that the comfort zones are very clearly marked. But before I get there, I want to look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and extract from this the theme of meditation, very difficult practice to do. And I want you to remember this. The Bible says that all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture is profitable. And 2 Timothy 3:16, here in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate. Meditate. Now think about this for a moment. Let me begin with and ask God's blessing in prayer and hope that tonight, that the time that we will have to devote to this will be useful and profitable to you and bring glory to God. Our dear Lord, please help us to get into the Scripture, to hold it in our hearts very near, very dear. And may it be something, dear Heavenly Father, that as we take it into our hearts and minds, that it actually has that nourishing effect upon our souls. And the Lord, that we might more and more be changed into that image promised by Christ, conformed to His image one day and ultimately unto perfection. Until then, Lord, we realize that there are a lot of rough edges. Help us, therefore, to rely upon what You've said. May the Word of God be that which we take seriously in our lives. And may it be, Lord, for our brethren, members of the church here, our friends who attend here, as well as in our sister churches, may largely the congregation, if even, Lord, without exception, that every soul would take the Word of God seriously. And we ask Your Heavenly Father, we might at all times remember it is that which is breathed out by You and preserved by You for a specific purpose. Help us tonight to enjoy, as the Spirit unfolds before our eyes and into our hearts, the message for the evening, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So we look at this word meditate. Meditate therein day and night. Can I just add one more concise little definition for you to think about? Think about mental dissection. Mental dissection. Oftentimes exhibited in vocal emission. You've heard of the expression, maybe you've engaged in it, maybe you don't think it any great deal to be said. When you're in the company of other people and they see your lips going, as they did with Hannah of old, one man, Eli the priest saw Hannah muttering to herself. She was thinking out loud. She was thinking out loud. And when we think about meditation, when we think about mental dissection, oftentimes exhibited in vocal emissions, it is really the practice of thinking out loud. And so you maybe stop and you think to yourself, well, is that something I really want to be seen doing? Do I really want to be seen at a red light thinking out loud? You know, talking to myself and people look in your car, they don't see another soul in there, but you're talking. You're dissecting what you've been thinking. You know, prayer is often born of meditation. Prayer is often born of meditation. And we look at this reference in Joshua, one among maybe a dozen and a half places where the word is actually used, but in different forms. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. There's a consistency there. Meditation, a mental dissection of that which is in the book day and night. In other words, it would convey to you and me the sense of a preoccupation with something God has said. You know, it is easy for us when we are insulted, when somebody says something that we find offensive. Do you realize how hard it is to chase that from your mind? And the tendency for most human beings is to recount that over and over again. Matter of fact, people, you can probably remember from 20, 25 years ago an insult that was given to you, and with that remembrance, you think poorly of the person who uttered it. And I would say, you know, we ought to turn that about and be able to recollect with equal ease that which God has said that is meant for our edification, for our blessing. Here in the 7th verse of Joshua chapter 1, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And you jump down to verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now meditate on that truth for a minute. That God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I don't know what you did this afternoon. Don't know whether you parked yourself in the place of rest, otherwise known as a recliner. Unseen by you, in all of its reality, God was present with you. When you came tonight to the house of God for the evening worship service, as you have done now, the Lord was with you in the vehicle. As you sit here tonight and you have your Bible in your hand, meditate on the truth that God is with you here tonight. He's with you. Unseen, to be sure, but here nevertheless. And how do we know that? Well, because of what He said. What He promised Joshua is not something that was exclusively his domain, but something that may be claimed by every believer in every age from the time that God created Adam until the time will be no more on earth. And as a result of that, the outcome is multiple due to the very presence of God. We don't have to be afraid of things that we see going on around us. We don't have to be dismayed. I mean, it was out on the news line this morning that these two young women were sitting in a park someplace up in Delaware, Massachusetts. Probably Massachusetts. As they were sitting there in the park 7:30 in the evening, it is said that 10 or 12 young black men walked up to them and they were both gang raped. Now the cynic, the skeptic would say, where was God in all that? And why did He permit that? Why did God permit that to happen? Wasn't He there? You know, and that's precisely what the prophet Habakkuk wrote about. In that first chapter of the book of Habakkuk, he's basically outlining his complaint to God. First of all, why are things happening in my neighborhood like they're happening with all this violence and with all this covetousness? Why is this happening in my neighborhood? And then, on top of that, he is made to understand that the Chaldeans are coming and they're going to afflict the people. And his problem with that was, God, how could You send a people that are worse than we are to afflict us? Where's the justice in that? Now, I want to say that when we talk about meditation, it is not something that just blows through the right side to the left side in your mind, but something that you dwell upon, you chew it over, like a cow does a cud, you just keep munching on it and getting everything you can out of it. Here in Joshua chapter 1, there is something to be gained through the meditation of the Word. God is with you, therefore you don't need to be afraid. Now let me give you some mile markers as we go on our summertime sightseeing. I'm going to, first of all, give you four things that four particular focal points that if you're writing something down for purposes of memory, that it may be something that not only you can meditate on and memorize and muse upon. Now, I want to back up and just share with you a personal experience on this idea of a happy place. And I don't want you to think I'm nuts. Maybe some of you think I already am, but as a very young man, when I first went away from home for any length of time, and especially when I went away from home and placed in a culture and an environment that was totally foreign to my understanding, with all the stress and the pressure that was placed there, with all of the things being thrown at you, things to have to learn, things you have to take care of, and all this and that and the other thing, it became so weighty upon the heart and mind. I remember sitting down and closing my eyes, and this was before I was much into the Scriptures. Just newly saved, wasn't long after that. But I remember sitting down in a place, oftentimes, and in a very quiet place, and with eyes closed, I would allow my mind to take me to a happy place. It might be a mental recollection of something that I cherished earlier in my childhood. And one of the memories that I always had as a young boy was the summertime Saturday night. Forgive me. Maybe you want to turn the mic off on this. The summertime Saturday night card games that my grandmother and my aunts would hold in their backyard in Natrona Heights. Lynn's daughter lives in that place. And back in the day, they had a patio. And in that patio, all lit up, I mean, it was surreal. I think back mentally, I will never forget the mental picture that presented. And as I think back to that, they were all sitting under that patio. 9 or 10 women, cackling and howling, and one man, my Uncle Henry, was the only one who dared sit with them. Now, all they did was play penny ante. Okay. They weren't Vegas high stakes rollers. And they were there because they were all friends, and that was the way they chose to spend their Saturday evening, and it was a fun time. In the meantime, all the kids that came with all the people who were there had the run of the place. And then there came a time when they would put all their stuff down and the grill would get fired up, and out come the hamburgers and all the other little treats. And so the reason I'm telling you all that is to say that there were times when placed with so much weight, so much fright, and so much uncertainty placed in my heart, I had to get to a happy place. And so I was able to sit down, close my eyes, and go back in time and dwell upon that. And I oftentimes found myself having to cherry pick those comforting memories lodged deeply in the brain from even at that time to this present day. I won't ever forget it. That for me was a happy place. But since I've been saved and since been reading the Scriptures for a little time, I have been able to get beyond that to a happy place that basically is rooted in the Scriptures. Things that God has said that are as just as true when He said it and just as true in His promises that He made, that whenever that fright and whenever that terror and whenever the weight of circumstances weighs down upon the heart, I can find a happy place to go. And I want to say to you that it first must start at the place of meditation. Then it must carry to the second phase of memorization. And I'm not necessarily saying memorize great lengths or passages of Scripture, but memorize where they are. I find there's greater profit in memorizing the address of Scripture than perhaps even memorizing what that Scripture says. Now, if you can do that, that's fine. But you're going to find, like me, the older the brain gets, the less inclined you are to be able to pick and retain things in your mind like that. And you've got to muse on it. Some people will say, well, what's the difference between meditation and musing? Well, one is internal, one is external. With meditation, there is that mental dissection of things, something that God has said that I find absolutely delightful. Sort of like the blessed man in Psalm 1. It is said that the blessed man in Psalm 1, one of the things he says he delighted in the Word of God on which he meditated day and night. He delighted in it. And I want you to understand that all Scripture is profitable. And on towards the happy place, there are three or four basic things that we'll start with tonight. First of all, if you're trapping these, his person. That's where we've got to start there. Second of all, his purpose. Third, his pleasure. And fourth, his power. And so when all of that stuff may come in your life, as it does mine frequently, weighs in on you, and stirs up the heart and the mind, keep in mind this act of meditation on what you see God has said. There's the mental dissection. That's the inward act. Whereas musing is something like, and this is where it might get a little embarrassing, something like Isaac did when it is said in Genesis 26, where he went out to the field in the evening, and it is said there that he was talking to himself. That's the essence of the word musing, M-U-S-E, muse. Now, I would imagine whenever he saw his bride come up over the hilltop, he was really talking to himself. Okay? So there is the internal, the mental dissection. There is the external expression, audibilized. It is something that you say. Now, let me give you some things to muse upon. First of all, his person. You might find, if you want to look at the addresses, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. You might want to take your Bibles and look in there just for a minute. We're going to fly right through this. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. I'll give you the street address, a couple of sideways comments, and we'll move on to the next one, and then we'll layer it at a different time. In Hebrews 13 verse 8, this is where it's got to start. This is where you begin if you're going to draw a road map to a happy place. It has to begin right here. In this, the 8th verse of Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ. I mean, if there were no other words in the verse but those two words, it would be sufficient. But it is said further upon definition, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when you start thinking about this, and you start the mental dissection, you say, well, exactly, where does that lead me? Well, to the grand doctrine of the immutability of God. Everything around you, everything about you, everything related to you may change. And indeed, you know that to be true. But Jesus never changes. He never improves. He never regresses. He never forgets. Nothing. Nothing. What he has said, he will accomplish. That is unchangeable. And so when I sit under the weight of everything going on in my life, when I sit and I look at what goes on in the lives of the people of Grace Baptist Church with all their physical afflictions, with their spiritual dilemmas, and I sit back and I add that on to my own problems, to my neighbor's problems, and to the problems of my nation, to the problems of our soldiers and their families, to the problems of those who are in these high-tech hospitals getting repaired. It all weighs in, and where can I go? I have to remember that all this stuff is changing. By tomorrow morning, you get up and you look at the news lines and you read all the wires that are there, and The 24-hour period from this morning till tomorrow morning, things will have changed. But Jesus never changes. Never. So we start, first of all, on this roadmap with his person. You might say that if you can, if you are a fan of triangulation and you can get, first of all, your, the surveyors would say, get your pin set. Get your pin set. Mark out the boundaries. Mark out the border. Where if you get lost along the way in this roadmap, you can always come back to the beginning. Always come back to the beginning. If you lose your way in the path of life, always come back to Hebrews 13, verse 8, and reflect on what that verse says. Then secondly, consider his purpose. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, we've been looking at this for some number of weeks in Sunday school. What in the world is God doing? And we have to at least give some attention to the fact that that God has a plan. You know, things aren't just happening, though they may appear to be for you and me. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We read further to the 30th verse, and we see that in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. I get to thinking sometimes about that young pastor that's in the Iranian jailhouse, locked into an 8-year sentence. I get to thinking about him sometime and his wife and his family. And I wonder if we were able to exchange places, what life would be like for me in my thought life. You know, maybe he never has cultivated the practice of finding a happy place. I remember years ago I read a little paperback book about this this Bulgarian pastor in the Great Purge of the Soviet bear in those days. Simply because he and his colleagues in the Bible-believing Association of Churches would not agree to a license to operate by the government. They came to his house at 4 o'clock in the morning, pounded on the door, kicked the door in, took him and arrested him, hauled him out of his house, and for the next 13 years, he was taken from place to place to place and subjected to the most inhumane and cruel tortures and imprisonments in order to try to break his will. And he says in his little book that when in the darkest, most wretched conditions, he was able to reflect upon what he knew God had said and what God had promised. And it was his strength through those 13 years. He did not crack. And I kept, when I was reading that book, I said, well, you're a better man than I am. I would have done anything they wanted me to do, of course, with my fingers crossed behind my back, but I would have said anything they wanted, done anything they wanted, let's let me loose, and then I'm going to go back to what I was doing. That's how I'll play that game. But here it is said in this 30th verse, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. No matter what happens today or tomorrow or the next day, no matter how things may change in your country, whether we ever get to the place where you forfeit civil liberties or you are asked to exchange your civil liberties, your constitutional rights for safety and security, no matter where that goes, one thing is unalterably true. There is coming a day when you will be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the purpose of God in salvation. Now, there's a roadmap. Two mile markers, Hebrews 13, 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I'm not saying you got to sit down and try to commit this to memory. If you can, that's fine. Some young brain like Emil over here, she could probably do that. Her mother may be able to do that yet. She's got a mind like a steel trap. But at least know where you may find the marks on the map. Then there is the pleasure of God. Look in Isaiah chapter 46. And this is very beneficial to those of us who are looking square into the sunset of life, as they say. In Isaiah 46. And verse number 4. Now, listen, I'm putting these verses out here, not trying to proof text you to death, but I'm just giving you little markers along the way. And if you are able to develop the art of meditation, mature in meditation and memorization and musing, you will find what God has said in the various and sundry places of Scripture to be a very happy place for you when things are the most glum of all. So here you find in verse 4, ah, and even to your old age. Please notice that what it says there. Anybody in here qualify? And even to your old age, I am He. And even to your hoar hairs, your gray hairs, will I carry you. I like that. I really like that. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Doesn't make any difference what's going on around you. That there, may I just say to you that there's a tremendous roadside rest there that generally and ought to bring great comfort. You go on further to verses 9 and 10. Fodder for meditation, remember the former things of old. Hey, can you think back to one or two or perhaps three of God's great blessings in your life when you were a mere 20 years old? Think about the kids that He gave you. Think about the grandchildren He gives you. Think about the friends you made and the friends you still have after 20, 25, 30 years. Those are treasures. Think about the fact that every day from way back, you've had something to eat. You've had something to drink. Whenever you were hurt, somebody was there to help. You always have something to wear. And though the pathway is oftentimes filled with tears and grief, there have been many, many, many times of laughter and joyfulness. There have been many good days to go along with the many bad days. And through them all, God has safely delivered. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And so when I see people beginning to pull out their commentaries on the book of Ezekiel and dusting off chapters 38 and 39, I just want to remind you, you can go ahead and do that. That's a good place to park and enjoy. But remember, what God has said here, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. Benjamin Netanyahu, as much as I respect the man and wish he was an American citizen, for a lot of reasons, he's still very squeamish about the land. Okay, he wants to give that land away for peace. So it's never going to work. You know that. I know that. And I know he knows that. And it doesn't make any difference what any politician says or does. God's counsel is going to stand. You can give the land away if you want, but ultimately when at the right time, Israel will occupy the land and the king is going to be there to assure it. Old age assurance, and then we see where's the pleasure. My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Please notice how that's framed. My pleasure. the pleasure of God, declaring the end from the beginning. And do you realize, and so if you have the end and you have the beginning, do you suppose that everything in between is sort of just there at random, floating about, hitting there, without any attachment on the part of God, any control on His part? I think not. Then you look over in chapter 50 of Isaiah and see His power. A rhetorical question for most of us. In Isaiah 50 verse 2, wherefore when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Is there one person in this community that is so vile, so rotten, that he's beyond the grace of God and beyond the ability of God to draw him to himself if he would be so inclined? We say not. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? Well, the answer of that is no. When you think about then his prospects, lastly, look at Isaiah 55, the 11th verse. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Isaiah 55, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, there's a word of cheer for every one of you who in your lifetime have spoken a word of testimony to a loved one, a friend, or a neighbor, and you came away from that encounter thinking that you wasted your time and theirs because nothing apparently happened. I want you to be able to come back to Isaiah 55, 11 and remember what God said. That every time you take the word and you sow the seed, there is something going to happen at the hand of God when the seed is sown. And it will happen at His time, in His own time. Prospects are great. So I want you to mark our summer sightseeing trip here tonight, this roadmap to a happy place. And when you look around you, when you go home tonight and you're all by yourself, and you lay your head down on the pillow and you're ready to go to sleep, pause for a moment. Pause for a moment. To reflect on all that God has spoken to you today. What you've heard today in Sunday school, in the morning service, and here tonight. What you may have read in your devotions before you ever arrived here at church today did not just happen willy-nilly. God providentially determined that certain of His breathed-out words would come to your attention and enter your heart for a specific reason. And if you find yourself this week coming in need of a happy place, I say, start at the beginning. If you lose your way, go back to where you started and come all the way through. Now, I cherry-picked these verses for my own benefit. And in those times when, I'm oftentimes tempted never even to look at the news wires in the morning because of the deadening effect that it has on my spirit for about an hour afterwards, been tempted just to stop looking at them, but I said, no, I can't do that. Can't do that. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to certain things. And yet, I have this little formula. I have a place I can go and grin and talk to myself, knowing that God is eavesdropping. And when I get done with that, yeah, I feel better. I'm glad to be in the presence of God. You know, Charles Spurgeon, he said, great thoughts are blessed guests and should be heartily welcomed, well fed, and much sought after. Like rose leaves, they give out a sweet smell if laid up in the jar of memory. In the jar of memory. And the Apostle Paul encourages us In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy prospering, thy profiting may appear to all. Dear Lord, please, may we find our joy in Thee at all times, no matter what else happens, good, bad, or ugly. May we find our joy and our contentment and our peace of heart and mind in Thee, O God. Thank You for Your blessed presence. In Jesus' name, I give You all the praise. Amen.